What is up, guys? Welcome to Come At Me Bro 40. This is episode 40. We've been around for a while now, four decades in episodes. I'm one of your hosts, Joey, joined alongside Drew.
I'm back.
And Tyler. I am excited for baseball too, but first, I'm excited to hear about Drew's trip. He's now back from Germany.
Man,
he's had his German soccer experience. He's had his Bavarian pretzels. He's celebrated Oktoberfest, and now he's back on the shores of North America. Drew, how was the trip?
Did you say I had my soccer experience?
I was hoping you went to a Bayern Munich game or something. It might have been just a wishful thought on my behalf.
No, but I did get to be part of a spirited debate. So Christina, two of her cousins, one is a Dortmund fan and the other is a Bayern fan. So there's a lot of animosity there when soccer comes up. So that was fun. Good to see that good family rivalry. That was a great trip. I had so much fun. I had a lot of beer. I had a lot of schnitzel, a lot of just really good bread. And I just had a great time. I got to see Nuremberg. I got to tour a brewery and the tunnels from all the independent breweries from Nuremberg from like the 1600s or earlier. It was good. I had a really good time. I definitely enjoyed the 2 week vacation.
Okay, I'm going to be that guy. I always hear about schnitzels and I'm not quite sure what it is. Is this like a meat thing, a bread thing? What's a schnitzel?
So a schnitzel is think of a country fried steak. But better. So it's pork. Sometimes it's veal or lamb, but it's usually pork. And it's tenderized to get really thin. You use breadcrumbs and you use a lot of paprika as your main seasoning. And then you deep fry it. And so that's what it is. It's very well seasoned, tender fried pork. And it's amazing.
Flour.
I'm down. It sounds good to me.
I had two of them that were the size of dinner plates.
Wow. Yeah, that's massive.
Yeah, it was so good. I was very full afterwards, but I did have room for the salad and the fries. So,
okay, what about all this beer before we move on into the sporting world here? What did one beer stand out to you? Because I love some German brews myself.
So it's interesting. There are just so many different beers, but they're all so similar in Germany. So a lot of them, like each area has its own kind of brewery, like the town that she was in, that her family is in. There's a few breweries within, you know, 20 miles. And so you get those beers pretty specifically when you're there. But it's all the styles that we hear over here, the Märzen, the Dunkel, the Keller, you know, those kind of beers. But they all have their own little local flair. So I had a lot of Keller beer because that's what her family tended to like. You know, I don't even know how to explain it. It's just a pretty basic beer, but it's so much better than anything I get over here. Well, that's a bold statement. They don't believe in super hoppy things like we do with IPAs over here. So over here, you either get like Bud Light or you get a hoppy craft beer. And over there, their standard beers are so much better than like Budweiser, but they're not this hoppy thing. They're just good. And it's because they don't have all these preservatives and stuff in them. It's really hard to beat just the four basic ingredients that they use. Yes. A couple times.
Why,
I did not
why
drive.
Why are we comboing those
Speaking
two?
Of drinking, did you go on the Autobahn?
No, I was not driving. That's not happening. I am not brave enough. Boy, but on that...
You weren't driving?
I was going to say, on that note, drinking and driving over there is a much bigger deal. Yeah. You can't have anything.
I'm okay with that. And in fact, I do want to mention that Come At Me Bro does not support drinking and driving, even though Tyler might lead you to think that we do. Drinking on the show is completely prohibited. I mean, completely allowed. Please. It's encouraged, actually.
We just drink on the show. That's
okay.
Yeah. And you can drink when you're listened to.
That's the only way.
Maybe your segment's
sure,
over
you
there.
Know, the only way people listen to this show is if they're drinking. So I don't know who else. Who else? Maybe.
Cool.
Drew, I'm going with some high schoolers come June 2020.
I'm gonna have to actually get back to you on that. I've never
where
been to Berlin.
Berlin's nice. Is there one place in Berlin we have to go?
I didn't spend time in Frankfurt.
What?
Like,
where'd you fly into?
Like, so We went to her family's, okay, which is in one a small town, and we went to Nuremberg. Like, that is fruit the cakes. Big place that all we right, went.
What else?
So you could take these students to go to Drew's in-laws' house.
Nah, okay. They would host them. They okay. might be a little upset with me for inviting them all over, but they would happily host them.
Hey.
No, they're actually doing really supposedly,
well. Supposedly, and I don't want to get too off topic, but is Germany's economy tanking at all? No? Okay. All right.
You might have gotten that I've mixed heard, up with I've another G different in economists Greece. That Greece they're is not doing, doing very well. Well.
So,
but to my knowledge, but, Germany's right. doing so all right. I think go every Germany. Country has its issues here and there, and I think the whole Brexit thing is affecting Greece the EU in general. Well. But yeah, I haven't heard anything really that bad about Germany's.
No, they're having some of those EU scares, and you know they're about to have to elect a new chancellor because Merkel's not going to run again. So you know there's some of that. I don't want to say turmoil, but upheaval going on where there's going to be some changes, but there's nothing drastic. No one's losing jobs. They're not shutting down businesses left and right or anything like that.
But you know what is going well in Germany, and that's German sports. Soccer is excelling, but so is baseball over here in North America, where we are moving into MLB postseason. We're moving all the way to the final, actually, the World Series. We have the number one seeded team from the AL, the Houston Astros, going up against the number four seed from the NL. That's the Washington Nationals. This Finally. Has been exciting to watch. Coming into the MLB postseason, my prediction was actually the Yankees up against the Washington Nationals, the Yankees taking the series 4-2. Unfortunately, I did only hit 50% of this one. The Nationals did make it. The Yankees let me down in the game prior. But the Astros have made it here. The Astros look incredibly strong, just taking down a very strong Yankees team in the ALCS 4-2. And then the Nationals with a 4-0 sweep of the Cardinals as well. Both teams come hitting on all cylinders. The pitching looks good, especially the starting pitching. The bats are hot. The Nationals being the hottest team in baseball since May. What are your thoughts on this series overall, Drew? Is one team leaning out in front of the other for you? Are you surprised one team's here? What are your overall thoughts on the series?
Well, from just consistency and looking at it all on paper, you know, I think the Astros are out in front as far as favorites. Just they have a slightly stronger core of pitching, especially the bullpen, and they have just some crazy good hitters. But before the season, I would have had no issues with predicting the Nationals making it this far. It was only after they just laid a massive egg to start the season that I thought, okay, never mind. That's the only reason anyone is surprised that they're here now, not because of the people on their team, but just because we watched them be terrible for 2 months. The young guys they have, though, last year, especially seeing them as people got hurt and they were able to keep rallying, I knew once they had all of those guys at once, they should be able to do something great. So they're definitely coming into this series with that underdog mindset. You know, I don't think the Astros are going to try to overlook them. I think they are ready for a fight. But I'm very excited for this because I love this kind of storyline of the team that is the underdog that had to fight to the last second to make it there against the powerhouse that knows how good they are and is expecting themselves to win. So I'm so sad that it's the Nationals and not the Braves, but I'm really excited for them because I love those young guys. I love Trey Turner. I love Juan Soto. And I love Anthony Rendon. From the first year he got called up, he was my favorite player on that Nationals team. That's when I still lived up there. I love him, and I'm so excited for him that he's getting this big moment, and it's only better because Bryce Harper is not there to try to steal the spotlight.
Oh, those memes have been brutal against Bryce. I mean, he kind of asked for them in a sense. Now, on the other side here, the Nationals, Tyler, you've actually had the pleasure of going to a Nationals playoff game this season. I believe it was up against the Dodgers. Is that correct? Still there, little buddy?
Brewers. Is the Brewers.
We can hear you now. Was it the Dodgers game that you went for the playoffs?
Still there.
You went to the original.
Working. Okay. It was the Brewers. So I went to the original, like, all right, this is in or you're out, Brewers game. And the atmosphere was electric. You go to any game before, though, I mean, there might have been 20,000 people in the stands, but everyone was there before. 20 minutes before the first pitch, people were there. So it was electric. And I think what's made it great about this team is how fun they are with the young guys, with Soto, with Rodon, with Turner. I mean, all these young faces with the baby shark it just makes this team so likable. There is not a bad egg. There is not like an evil, you know, with the Dodgers, with Bryce Harper, with some of these teams, there's like kind of like you have the Empire and the Rebels, you know. There's no Darth Vader on this team. It is all Luke Skywalkers and Chewbaccas and Pac-Man and fun people to be around. And so I think to see that with the Nats, I mean, it makes everyone want to root for them almost as the underdog and seeing how far they've gone. So, I mean, they bring such. I mean, with their pitching, you know, you think of, you know, Verlander, you think of Greinke. But, I mean, you got Strasburg, you got Scherzer, who are just studs. And, I mean, if I was the staff, I would almost start Strasburg first and then do Scherzer in the second game. And then Corbin and then Sanchez and whoever you got. But I'm really – the one biggest thing plus that has been beneficial for this Nats team is the manager, Davey Martinez, who people wanted to get rid of. I mean, I was
that way.
Definitely, I can raise my hand and say I thought they were going to go 22 games behind 500, and it looked that way. And you know, I'm very happy to see I was wrong. It's one of the happiest times. I'd love to be wrong. Is when you think the Bills are going to lose the Dolphins and they win. So, you know, it's it's a very good place to be wrong. When you're a guy who watches sports pretty often. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how Davey Martinez puts it here. But, I mean, for them, it's a big curly W getting this far into the World Series. So,
Right, and I think that's one of the things that really drove them through playoffs as well. They came in with a team where there were so low expectations on them for most people. Yeah, they had a really strong record at the end of the year. Yeah, they were going on streaks where they were 8-2 and 7-3 in a lot of their 10-game series at the end of the year. But was that playoff streak going to end up blowing up like it usually does for the Nationals? They usually carry that hot streak into a game against the Dodgers and then eventually lose against the Dodgers. This time, Washington take that split 3-2 against them. I mean, that's a huge win. Not only did you overcome what people are doubting with you, but you overcome the Dodgers, that team that they always seem to be the door that would not let you further into the playoffs. They were able to take them down and then just completely clean sweep the Cardinals, showing that they are one of the best teams. They constantly get stuck behind the Dodgers, and the Dodgers are just that good as well as that number one seed from the NL. So I think the Nationals deserve to be here. I really think the pitching from both sides is elite. I think it's some of the best pitching staffs we have in all of baseball right now, and the bats can back them up as well. Yeah, there's some weaker bats here on Houston, some weaker bats here on the Nats. I mean, that's any team. No one's going to have elite bats throughout the whole lineup. No one can replicate Babe Ruth 8-9 times. It's not going to happen. When you look at this overall, though, I think both teams are, I wouldn't say even on paper. I think Houston has the edge. I think betting, games, bookkeepers, and all of that are going to give Houston the edge. I don't think the Nationals are a team to sleep on, though, either. I think they bring potential. They bring a lot of young talent as well. It's going to be tough to see how this young talent matches up against the veteran pitching staff of Houston. But same with Houston. They have some veteran batters. They have some younger batters. They're coming up against a very veteran staff as well in Washington. Strasburg looking really well. Scherzer's been shaky here and there, but he's looked pretty good overall. Sanchez. I mean, both pitching staffs are talented. It's going to come down to who gets hit the most. And I think the bullpen is going to be the bigger issue. If they do eventually have to go to the bullpen, I think the Nationals lose an edge there. Again, Houston still has a bit of an edge in starting pitching as well. But when it goes to the bullpen, I think the Nationals really lose the edge. And I think that will be a big advantage the Astros see through the series. Who do you think takes it?
Natitude. Nats take it. 4-2. Nats. I mean, it's the monkey. The Dodgers and the Cardinals were both monkeys on the Nats' back when it made to the playoffs. Because they get to the playoffs and they lose the Dodgers. They lose the Cardinals. You know, whether it be 2012, whether it be 2015, whether it be 2017. I mean, they always had a monkey on their back, and they wouldn't get the breaks, and now they get the breaks. And so it would only make sense for them now, after they've gotten so many breaks, whether it be in the regular season, in the playoffs, that they finally get the job done and get that giant curly
W stands
big,
for World
fat
Series
in your face dub
or win
with the win of the World Series.
Well, in this case, I mean,
that's right. Duh. So I really think, I think it's destiny at this point. I think the Nats have to win.
I think
it.
To me, a lot of it's going to come down to the rest level. I'm curious to see. So Houston had a play through. So on one spectrum, you could say, okay, they're going to be the fresher team. They're ready to go. But on the other side, you could say, hey, they could be tired. These pitchers have pitched more games. These series have been longer. So I think that's one argument. And on the Nats side, they are a team that has really rode a hot momentum. And now you give them this big break of, what, 4 or 5 days here? Is that a break where they could still continue to build upon that momentum that they can bring into this series? Or are those couple of days there enough to really cool this team down? I'm actually going to make a prediction now. I'm going to take Houston out of this one 4-2. I hope I'm wrong. As a Nats fan, I would love, or not, I'm not even a Nats fan. I'm a Philly fan, to be completely honest. But as a Washington, D.C. native here, I would love to see the Nationals win 4-0. Yeah, they're a rival of my team, but they are still the team in my backyard. I like the Nationals. I like the staff over there. I really like a lot of other Nats fans as well. I want to see them win. For the city of D.C., I think it would be great to see Washington win. I think the Astros are a strong team. They're going for 2 of 3. They're a very strong veteran team in that sense. I think the Nationals are just as hungry as they are, but when it comes down to it, I think Houston's raw talent may be enough to get the edge. They've already taken down very strong teams en route here with Tampa Bay and the Yankees. I think Houston wins this 4-2, but I hope the Nats sweep them. Yeah, I'm kind of native, I guess. I wasn't born in D.C., but I live and work in D.C.
Well,
so I'm native currently.
No, you're not.
This is the closest team for you, so.
Yeah.
So if we're doing predictions, I'm going to pick the Nationals in 7 games, 4-3. I think they're going to start slow, have to rally at home, and then take 2 on the road at the end to pull it off. Maybe they win one of the first 2 games. I'm not sure, but I think they're going to start slow and have to re-grab that underdog mentality because, like, they're going to have rested a little bit, and some of that edge is going to be down. But they're going to take some shots, and it's just going to sharpen them back up, and they're going to come out, and it's going to take 7 because it's going to be a slugfest. But I'm going to pick the Nats in 7. And like you, as a Braves fan instead of a Phillies fan, I hate it, but I love watching history and, you know, the chance for the Nationals not only to have made history just getting into the playoffs, but for them to have never won a World Series. So it'd be a pretty cool time to see them win a World Series. So that's my pick. I'm with Tyler there on that destiny idea, but I think they're going to have to fight for it.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes down to it, Drew, even as an NL East rival like you and me here with the Braves and the Phillies and the Nats, I think when it comes down to it, for anyone in the NL, the NL wants the NL to beat the AL. I don't like the whole AL thing where you have the designated hitter. I love the fact that the NL has the pitcher like actually bat at the plate. I feel like that's the way baseball was intended to play. So I will always, no matter which team it is, choose the NL over the AL as far as who I want to win for sure.
I will mostly agree with that. If it's the Cardinals, I will pick everyone else over them.
Not a fan of the old cards?
Yeah, and that was even before the playoff nonsense this year with the Braves. I've never liked the Cardinals. Them and the Giants, either of those two teams, I'd be very tempted to pick the AL team over them.
Depending who the AL team is.
Right.
Because we don't need the Yankees getting another ring. I think they've had enough.
Spot on. Probably not the Red Sox either.
Hey, yo. Tyler, any other thoughts on this year's World Series? Yeah, word. I think it'll be exciting to play out. I'm really excited to see how the series goes. I hope it goes, well, hope Nationals 4-0, thoughts Houston 4-2 for me. Would love to see a 7-game series between these two teams, though. I think if you're looking at any teams in previous World Series, both of these teams have a great staff, have great hitting as well. I really like both these teams right now, and I think they have a lot of potential to deliver a really exciting, fun-to-watch series and really breathe some more life into baseball, especially in younger fans. With that being said, we did have the NFL this past week. It was a little wet here in Washington. The 49ers did continue their undefeated streak against the Redskins, though. The 49ers, I believe, won that one 9-0 in the end. Were there any particular games that stood out to you guys, Tyler? Oh, my gosh.
The Washington Razorbacks are still 0-6, and the the Squish the Fish is still 0-6. So I think those are two
Squish still the Fish
winless teams. And they will play each other. They will play each other come next week, I think.
Wait, the Redskins and the Dolphins?
I think next week.
They already played.
They already played. Redskins won. You lost that bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Redskins beat the Dolphins.
The Redskins have not won.
Remember? Well, you lost that bet. I brought it up.
Oh, they did. They did. Fruitcakes and muffin pies. So it's just you're. I don't think I lost the bet. I just didn't know who. Okay. So,
it was a win. You took the Dolphins. Yeah, I took the Redskins. The Redskins got the dub. Games that really surprised me, though, there really weren't that many this week. If anything stood out to me, I was surprised the Cowboys scored as much as they did against the Eagles. I expected that to be a lot closer matchup. I was thinking it would be within two scores, whichever team won. I thought it was a coin toss for who would win, but the fact that Dallas kind of blew them out here, winning by 27, was a little out there for me. I did not expect that.
Yeah, they. Did you get to watch any of it?
I did not watch that much. I've seen highlights, though.
They started fast with those two turnovers from Wentz early on. You know, there was a fumble, and I believe maybe they were both fumbles. Yeah, strip sack and a fumble, and they just took advantage, which was great to see because we haven't always done that. So I was a little surprised at how big they won too. I was very nervous to go to bed when the game wasn't over because it's like as soon as I go to sleep, they're gonna do something stupid here. But they played good. They looked good. You could definitely tell they were missing. I mean, their two starting tackles have been out for a few weeks now, so you could definitely tell the offense was missing them. And same for Cooper and Randall Cobb both being out. Like, that was just a very depleted offense. And Zeke's good, but he needs a couple threats around him just to give him a little bit more space. Honestly, the game that surprised me most, and maybe surprise isn't even exactly the right word, but I loved the Ravens-Seahawks game. I'm still not sure exactly how I feel about Lamar Jackson as a quarterback. As a person and as an athlete and as a competitor, though, I love him. I love his edge. I love his toughness. I love what he did, you know, in Seattle. I don't know if you've seen the clip yet or not, but there was a fourth down near the end of the game where he came to the sideline frustrated because it was a fourth down. They didn't score. They're going to have to kick yet another field goal. And he looked frustrated, and Harbaugh asked him, "Do you want to go for it?" And he stopped and turned around and said, "Yes, I want to go for it." And one of the linemen said, "If he wants to go for it, I want to go for it." So Harbaugh called a timeout. They went for it, and he scored a touchdown on the play. Like, that was being a leader. It was being tough. That was showing why they decided to keep him and move on from Flacco. Never mind that Flacco's not really doing much to show, you know, that was a bad decision anyway, but he's showing why they think he can be the leader of this team. He's got to keep developing. He's got to keep growing. You know, he played against a good defense, so of course his passing numbers weren't great, but he did what he had to do for them to win, and that's what competitors do. And it was fun to watch, and it was interesting to see the Seahawks get beat at home by a team like this. It's very, very much like early Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's always been a better passer, but it very much reminds me of early Russell Wilson, where he would do whatever it takes just to get the Seahawks a win, and that turned into a bit of a mini dynasty. So maybe good things for the Ravens, but that was just a fun game to see all those highlights from.
And I think credit to the coach as well. I like the fact that Harbaugh put his faith in a young quarterback like that. Obviously, he already showed it, trading Flacco away, keeping Lamar here with the organization. But the fact that he's giving that choice to Lamar, I think, is big, too. He's not forcing him into the choice. He's not giving him the choice. He is giving him the choice to make on his own. And the team showed that they're back behind him, like the leadership you stated earlier, Drew. The fact that Lamar is ready to step into those shoes to continue building his leadership amongst his team, I think, is a really beautiful thing. This was actually the other game I got wrong this week, the Seahawks-Ravens. I expected the Seahawks to win this one. Not only because I thought Lamar would struggle a bit more in Seattle, with that being one of the hardest home stadiums to play at, that Seattle home field advantage of the loudness of the crowd being echoed onto the field in the way the stadium, the arena, is built into that bowl shape. But overall, they showed that they're ready to box with him. They showed that the defense can hold strong. They showed that the offense can deliver. Even if it's not the most incredible stats that week, they still got it done. I mean, Lamar Jackson, 116 yards on the ground and that touchdown. That's absolutely incredible. So these were actually the two matchups that really threw me off the most this week. And I got a few other ones wrong, I believe, on pick'ems, but I said they would be within one score, and it was almost a coin toss. That was like the Cardinals and the Giants. The Chargers and Titans was another one I thought would be a coin toss, and that came down to 3 points in favor of the Titans. So honestly, I didn't feel like there were that many crazy matchups this week, at least based on my pick-ems, but these were the two that really stood out to me. Are there any others that kind of gave you guys some insight or kind of threw you off as far as standings go?
I want to throw out the Titans-Chargers game. Definitely was not expecting the Titans to actually come out and get a win there. Especially with the quarter. I knew the quarterback change would spark them some, and I knew it would be interesting, but the Chargers are really underachieving this year. So I'm a little hesitant to give too much credit to the Titans. A lot of aspects of their game definitely were better, but the Chargers are just letting teams beat them. And it's very unlike them. I don't know if Phillip Rivers is tired. I don't know if that team is just fatigued from the injuries and the struggles they've had for years at this point, but they're just not playing as well as they should be. But kudos to the Titans for going with the QB switch, for there being some evidence now of it being the right decision and getting a win when they really needed to get a win.
Yeah, I would say a few things for the Chargers. I think one was the Melvin Gordon situation. Holding your star running back out of camp, the fact that he's not playing, he's not practicing. Some of the other players start to get either animosity toward him or growing animosity. They start to maybe feel not as inclined to play at the strength they would normally with him. But then you're also completely changing up your practice routine. Austin Ekeler stepped into the plate. He played extremely well. He carried the team on his back both in the passing game and the rushing game. And now you're only giving him 5 carries a game. I feel like since Melvin Gordon's come back, they've taken Austin Eckler's role back way too much. He's still killing it in the passing game. He had 7 receptions, 118 yards, which is great. But I also think he needs the ball more in the run game. Melvin Gordon, 16 for 32. He's averaging 2 yards a carry. He's not getting it done. I think you got to give Eckler more of an opportunity in that rushing game. And to me, it's really the Chargers defense. This is a defense that people are rating in the top 5 coming into the season. They have looked like they're the bottom 5, at least in recent games. They shouldn't be giving up this many points to the Titans. They shouldn't be giving up this many points to a lot of the opponents they've played. The cornerbacks are better than what they're giving up. The linebackers in particular, I mean, they have healthy linebackers back that were injured in previous seasons, and they're just not showing up. They look like they're still injured on the field. I mean, really, it comes down to the defense for me. Rivers is not doing that bad. The rushing game, it can improve, but at the same point, they're moving the ball through the passing game. If you can get some more stops on defense, I think this Charger team looks a lot better. Again, they should be scoring more at the talent they have, but they should also be stopping the ball a lot more than they are. Tyler, anything else on the Chargers-Titans game?
Chargers-Titans, not really. I mean, Chargers should have won. I think it's good they changed quarterback from the Tennessee side. I'm really excited about the Colts. My boy Frank Reich, former Buffalo Bill, is coach of the Indianapolis Colts. Garoppolo still is a bonehead, and they're gonna tank this season. He still doesn't know how to throw the ball. And the one thing I am impressed about is how San Francisco's defense has. And granted, they played the Washington Racial Slurs, so they can't throw the ball anyways. But the last 3 games, they have held their quarterback under 100 yards passing. I mean, that's impressive. The second thing that sticks out to me is the Cardinals. I mean, yeah, they played the Giants, but, I mean, Kyler Murray's getting his act together. That's a first. And then the last thing is, yeah, I'm really surprised about the Ravens. I think Lamar is still a little immature. I really thought Seattle was going to win that one, so that was a big surprise for me. I'm not surprised about the Bills almost losing it to the Fish, so I think it's going to be really scary against Philadelphia, even though they play in Buffalo. So, you know, we'll see.
That we will. That'll bring us to this week's fantasy update, so let's take a quick look at the OTN standings. Obviously, everyone's in
multiple
leagues.
The only reason why you're bringing that up is because you're winning.
No, we bring it up every week, Tyler. Even if I smash you,
no,
I don't
we
smash
don't.
You.
We did bring it up last week.
I'm pretty sure. I'm like 90% sure.
I'm
99% sure. It did come up last week, and we can find that on a clip later on. But for now, let's talk about these standings. I am beating Tyler 102-74 in this week's matchup. There are games currently going on.
No one cares.
I don't think either one of us has players, though, so that puts me at 4-3 and Tyler at 4-3 as well to tie us up. And then over to Drew's matchup, ridiculous stats over here performing at a high level. It looks like Drew's opponent is done as Drew is in the lead and he is popping off with still players to be played. Drew is currently leading 122.2 to 111.9 up against one of the other top teams in the division. Thickers from one of our guys in the OTN community, Clue. Drew is currently sitting at 2-4, most likely going unless some crazy slew of fumbles happens. He will be 3-4 after this week with Clue dropping to 4-3. So guys, we're all tied really close. It feels like all the standings in this league are very tight right now, especially for us three.
Yeah, I started bad. I'm glad to see that some of my picks have rebounded a little bit for me. Losing Tyreek Hill definitely really, really, really hurt me. And I finally also made the... And then when I had to rely on Kyle Rudolph 1 week, that hurt me. Although this league, he actually scored a touchdown for the first time all year.
Hey, not bad, not bad.
All right, would you trade Michael Thomas for a World Series ticket?
Yes.
Yeah, I definitely would too, 100%.
I'd give him my okay. whole roster.
I'll give you my whole roster.
Although, for me, that would have to include, like, travel to D.C. and, like, stuff like that, because, you know, I'm not there.
Right.
Okay, because I'm about to make a trade right now for potentially Michael Thomas for a World Series ticket.
It looks like someone is actually trading Michael Thomas as we speak in this league. Michael Thomas and Matt Breda for Kelsey and DJ Moore has been proposed.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one.
What a dum-dum.
See, and now's not even the time to trade Thomas because Breeze is about to come back and his numbers are going to shoot up.
That's right.
Yeah, I kind of like Travis Kelce and DJ Moore, to be honest, on this one.
I don't know how well Kelsey's been doing this year.
I don't even know who DJ Moore plays for.
Once Mahomes, well, people, even without Mahomes under center, I think Kelce becomes your blanket. So I think I really like Kelce here.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to take a while for Mahomes to put his kneecap back in place. Hey, what did we say about the Madden curse? What did I tell everyone?
Oh, man.
I'm telling you.
I
told everyone.
Wait, was he on the cover this year?
Believe me. Yeah.
He was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
it still continues. Still continues.
I told you.
That's scary. It's just becoming clearer and clearer.
Wait, has it been going on for 20 years now?
I don't remember exactly when the curse started, but the curse has been around for at least 10.
At least 10.
Okay, yeah. So it looks like within 20 years, there have only been 5 players not cursed.
Wow.
Dang.
Who's not been cursed? Give me a couple.
Okay, so starting in 2001, we have Eddie George being cursed, Dante Culpepper being cursed. 2003, Marshall Faulk got the curse. Michael Vick in 2004.
Dogs.
Ray Lewis in 2005 was not cursed.
Oh, no, he shot
Michael
someone.
but he can't play.
Eagles.
So.
I don't know. There's sound playing. Oh, here it is. It's driving me crazy. 2006, Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Donovan McNabb got cursed. 2007, we had Sean Alexander. That's where the one I really remember it starting up. 2008 was Vince Young. He was cursed as well. The Arizona Cardinals wide receiver duo of Larry Fitzgerald and Troy Polamalu. Only that was a half curse. One of them got injured, the other did not.
Yeah, Polamalu got hurt, right?
I believe so. And I think Fitzgerald got hurt shortly after, but it might not have fallen within the same season. New Orleans Saints quarterback Drew Brees cursed in 2011. 2012, Peyton Hillis of the Cleveland Browns. He's been cursed right on out of the league. Detroit Lions wide receiver Calvin Johnson did not receive the curse in 2013.
Calvin Johnson retired.
Adrian Peterson got the curse in 2014.
Yeah, but that was a couple years later.
Yeah, Seattle Seahawks quarterback Richard Sherman did not get cursed. Odell Beckham in 2016, it says not cursed. I would argue that his proficiency has dropped incredibly since then. 2017, New England Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski did receive the curse. And last but not least, 2018, we have Tom Brady on the cover, not cursed for that one, and then Mahomes for this year. So it's about 5 or 6 in there that did not get cursed.
Calvin Johnson.
But overall, over the course of 20 years, to have 15 or so, that's pretty bad.
Calvin Johnson retired in 2016, and he was on the cover in 2013.
Yeah, so a couple years later.
I think that's what I read. I don't know. I got out of it at this point.
I think his curse was being with the Lions for several years after that.
There you go.
Dang, Drew's bringing the heat. Youch. Yeah,
I like
so.
Burn.
I do too. I think the Lions are a fun team to watch this year. I feel like At least defensively, they've shown they can battle with the best. Offensively, they fall short here and there, but I think they have the weapons to get it done if they can keep the game tight enough.
Hey, so just an update for you. The Patriots are currently beating the Jets 24-0, and Darnold just threw his second interception in the end zone.
Raise your hands if you're surprised. And I don't see any hands raised. That's what I expected. Thank you, listeners, for your faith in the Patriots over here. I mean, the Jets are just terrible, guys. They are bad. I don't care who your quarterback is under center. Bell is not able to get the ball running. Everyone knows you're going to go that route first. Robbie Anderson can barely put his helmet on because his hair is too crazy. I mean, that team just looks like a straight-up mess right now.
And they have potential. That's the most frustrating thing watching them is they have potential. They're not quite Brown's level of ineffective yet because they've at least had success in the last decade. But you watch them, and it's like there is talent on this team. They should be doing something. I'm not saying they should be beating the Patriots by any means, but they should be better than 1-4. And I'm really ashamed that one is against the Cowboys, but that was they had everything clicking for that, and the Cowboys were missing, you know, a third of their offense. So, but anyway, they should be better than what they are right now, and it's very frustrating to watch and think of the talent that's being wasted.
Yeah, definitely not meeting expectations of a team that should be halfway decent, but we're still early on in the season. We're about a fourth through it. They still have time to turn things around. I think getting your quarterback back is going to help. Now that there's a little bit more health on their side, he can spread the field a little bit more than some of the substitutions that we've seen have to come in there as quarterback. So if Bell can get the ball going, if Bell can start running it a bit more, spreading that out where they have to like fix that box up, where they have to put more people in the box, and that'll open up more wide receivers in the field, I think that's when we see the Jets start clicking. But until then, it's not looking
too
clean.
Gosh, how sucky does it feel to like make a lot of money and suck as a team? Carmelo Anthony status.
I guess it's somewhere in the middle, because at some point you remember, I have money.
Yeah, but I mean, it goes back to that, like, would you rather win and make no money, or like lose and just be filthy rich?
I mean, honestly, I think that's going to come down to a player-by-player basis. I think a lot of these players are hungry for victory. They want to win, but I think there's plenty of other players that understand it's going to be very hard to be the highest elite, and they're happy with a nice paycheck every week.
Are you really happy, though? I mean, we poor folk over here.
I don't know. Does winning championships really make you happy
here,
as well?
I mean, yeah, of course we'd say money, but I don't know. I think I would want to say, like, hey, if I can get a ring, like, that's going to be worth it than making millions and millions of dollars. Because, like, you can make a million.
Or you could buy your own ring. I mean, it really depends. Like, I think the three of us are very competitive in that sense. We want to win something. We want to be at the best. We want to see ourselves improve over the time, especially as a team and as an individual. I would say a lot of the guys that make it to the NFL feel that way, but if you're a third stringer on a bench here and there's like a very small chance that you're going to get a play, yeah, you're going to still practice hard. Yeah, you're going to try to improve, but I think you're also happy coming in each game, cheering your team on and making a nice little paycheck on the side.
I mean, you're not making as much as the person who's playing and sucking.
No, 100% not. If you're the star on the field, you're definitely making the most money.
But your team sucks. That's got to suck. Going from the Pittsburgh Steelers, who playoff contender almost every single year, and then going to the Jets sucks. I mean, that's got to be a bad feeling.
Let me put it this way. Someone had to sign that contract, and that person's name had to be Le'Veon Bell. So for that deal to go through, he had to agree on those terms. He did agree on those terms. So in a sense, he accepted this, whether maybe he had higher expectations for the team. Maybe he wasn't in a right state of mind when he ended up making that deal. Maybe he just wanted to get back to the Steelers. Maybe he wanted the payday. I think there's a lot of things that it comes down to, but all said and done, his name is on that dotted line.
That's fine. I'm just saying, what a dramatic turn of events.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, 100%.
To really go from, oh, yeah, I want more money to, well, if you want more money, you're going to go to a terrible team. I mean, that's what it takes. Sure, you know, cash is king, baby.
I mean, look at the Steelers as well. They're in a similar situation. They did not want to pay him the money he wanted, and they did not want to meet the demands of Antonio Brown. They let both of them go, and now they're not looking too pretty either. Obviously, the Roethlisberger injury comes into play as well, but overall, the Steelers do not look like the team they were with the three Bs on the team. of Bell, Brown, and Ben Roethlisberger. So, I mean, overall, I think both parties are suffering in this sense. Le'Veon does not look like he's doing too well, neither do the Jets. The Pittsburgh Steelers leave a lot to be desired as well. So this is a bad high school breakup, in my opinion.
I think it's an ugly divorce.
It could be that, too. That's more Antonio Brown.
There you go.
These ones are at least semi-civil. Okay, guys, I think that's about to bring us to the end here. We're around 40 minutes for the episode. Is there anything else you guys want to touch on before we wrap up?
Natitude.
I just wanted to point out why I said, the listeners didn't hear this, but why I said the Redskins continue to be stupid. So they have an offensive lineman who is holding out, who is absolutely not coming back this season. And they've made it very clear that they're not going to trade him this season. They'll wait until the offseason, when his value will go down. It makes no sense. People are going to ransom like their kingdoms to get a good offensive tackle to make a playoff run. And you're just going to hold out and wait till the offseason when there will be more of them and probably better ones available, or at least cheaper ones that teams are going to go after instead. So instead of getting a first round pick, you're going to get a third round pick. He's not coming back. You've already said that you're not, like, he already told you he's not coming back. You already said you're not doing anything with him. Just go ahead and trade him. Go ahead and maximize that value. Quit being stupid and screwing over good players who are unfortunate enough to be on your team and be a part of that organization. Burn the whole thing to the ground. The best thing that could happen to them is if Dan Snyder had to give up the team. But that's never going to happen. And I hate the Redskins. End rant.
Wow, that got a little fiery here at the end.
I hate him. And yeah. I'm a Cowboys fan. Like, I have to deal with Jerry Jones. And if I think Dan Snyder is worse, you know something is wrong.
I mean, I think the difference in that sense is Jerry is willing to splash the cash in a lot of situations, so that does benefit the team in that sense. And he's not the worst at picking coaches. I feel like Dallas has historically had some pretty decent coaches. Again, they've had some rough spots here and there, but I feel like the Redskins overall have had a little rougher time for quite a while now. With that all said and done, that brings you to the end of episode 40 for Come At Me, Bro. Thanks again for listening, guys. Joey, Drew, and Tyler here. We'll see you guys next week. In the meantime, head on over to Twitter and follow us at CAMB Podcast. You can also find us on Facebook as well. I believe we have a page. If not, you can shoot us an email and let us know to make a Facebook page, and that's CAMBpodcast@otnmedia.org. Send us any questions, comments, concerns, anything like that. If you want to make fun of the Buffalo Bills or Tyler's fantasy team, shoot us emails on there as well. We'd love to read those on the show. In addition to that, go ahead and support us if you'd like on Patreon, patreon.com/OTN. Any donations you make there will end up giving you some pretty sweet little things in the return. We just got lanyards, which are pretty sick, with OTN Media on them, as well as some other cool things that were in the works for our Patreon as well. Check that out again, patreon.com/OTN. Thanks again for listening, guys, and I'll catch you later.
Gute Nacht. Natitude.
This podcast is part of the Overtime Network. Get more at overtimenetwork.com.